We'll turn our attention now to one of the issues that is central to the race for State Superintendent of Public Instruction, and that is the proposed expansion of the voucher school program. This program, currently in Milwaukee and Racine, allows parents to use taxpayer-subsidized vouchers to send their kids to private schools. Governor Walker has proposed in his state budget expanding the program to other school districts in the state that have at least two schools that are failing, according to a new state report card. And we'll wonder if you favor or oppose expanding the voucher school program. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7:37 on this Friday, March 22nd. First, we will discuss what we found out in our poll with St. Norbert College on the voucher school issue, and we will welcome in an education expert after that. First, Wendy Scattergood, Assistant Professor of Political Science at St. Norbert College in De Pere and Associate at the St. Norbert College Strategic Research Institute. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. So do we favor or oppose this this program?
The majority favor. 53% said that they favor this expanding the school voucher program, and 35% opposed, and 11% were not sure. And there's some pretty big partisan divides here.
Yeah. I can't believe that.
No, I'm sure you're shocked. 51% of Democrats oppose, 67% of Republicans favor, and as always, the independents, the key swing here, 51% of independents favor the voucher system.
Yeah, and we also asked about whether or not voucher schools should be held to the same standards. What do we find out there?
Right. Resoundingly agree that they should be held to the same standards. 43% of that is strongly agree, 46% agree. So that's the 89% together. And that across the board with regard to party identification, everybody agrees with that for the most part. There are some differences in the strongly agree versus agree. 56% of Democrats strongly agree compared to 33% of Republicans and 43% of independents. So Republicans are more likely to agree rather than strongly agree, but there's really no difference in terms of, you know, agree versus disagree. Everybody agrees they should be held to the same standard.
Now, we just asked the one question about whether you favor or oppose the expansion of this program. We weren't able to go into great depth with that question. Do you think everybody senses what this program entails?
It's hard to know. I know that the Marquette poll that was done a little bit before that, he asked the question in a little bit different way, and then they had an extra response of where they actually read out to the people, do you feel like I haven't heard enough? And actually, they found that 47% said that they either didn't know or an opinion, or they hadn't heard enough. So there is probably some evidence from that people, how much, it's sort of questionable how much they actually know about this issue.
Well, we'll find out more about we'll hear more about the program with Professor Correa from St. Norbert in just a bit. But I'm wondering if there is support for Governor Walker's plan to expand the school voucher program among the public, any sense as to why he's running into some resistance within his own party in the state legislature?
Yeah, and we do find some of that. There are some Republicans that in the public who also don't favor it. And I think, you know, there's that sense of, you know, education, as we found with important problem, you know, is an important issue in Wisconsin. It always is. It's always in the top five. And so I think, you know, some of the assembly people and senators may be responding to people in their particular communities and their views on education.
All right, Wendy. Well, that'll do it for this one. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Wendy Scattergood, Assistant Professor of Political Science at St. Norbert College in De Pere, Associate at the St. Norbert College Strategic Research Institute, working with us once again on our Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College poll, our Spring 2013 Wisconsin survey. All of the results, including all of the issues we talked about earlier this morning and yesterday, posted on WPR.org if you want to check it out. Let's welcome in now Steve Correa, Associate Professor of Teacher Education at St. Norbert College. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. So what do we think of these survey results that say 53% of us favor expanding the school voucher program, 35% of us are opposed?
Well, I think that so far, the way the school voucher program has been put forward and the way the governor's office has been able to communicate this, it's really been almost a moral imperative. It's been this concept that we owe it to the children when the public schools are not doing their due, they're not doing what they're supposed to. Therefore, then, we owe it to them to be able to do that, to be able to provide this option. And so you really have to give credit to the governor's office for getting their message out first, and then it's almost as if one is opposed to that, therefore then you are opposed to giving children an option and an opportunity for a better life. Now, if we think historically, which is very difficult to do because tomorrow is always more interesting than yesterday, this is a very similar strategy that Governor Bush from Texas used when running for president. And this is a very effective way to be able to distinguish yourself as a conservative, and at the same time, you're targeting a group, the teachers and the public schools, that are seen as primarily liberal, primarily non-conservative. And therefore, then, it also lets you sort of have the, or at least try to claim the moral high ground. You're doing the right thing, and you're keeping these perceived liberal groups and groups that are for big government at arm's length or under control. So politically, it's brilliant on the governor's office that they've been able to do this. They're the ones that have communicated this message. So the results slightly favoring vouchers, I think it shows who's been able to get this word out very well, and that's what people know about.
Well, for the 47% in the Marquette poll who said we need to hear more about this proposal to expand the voucher program, let's explain it a little bit. Right now, it's going on in Milwaukee and Racine, but the governor says, let's expand this to any school district that has two or more failing schools. Is that right, Professor Correa?
Yeah, I think the idea is there will be some types of, or at least the proposal at this point, is a threshold of 4,000 students. And so right away, you're eliminating two-thirds of the Wisconsin school districts from being a part of this because they just simply don't have that many students.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you're doing is you're saying that on the state report card, which measures a lot of things, everything from attendance to performance on standardized testing in specific academic areas, if there are enough of those that result in a negative score or a score below a C in two of their buildings, then therefore this district would then be eligible to be able to have their students then go to a private school. It doesn't necessarily have to be within that same district, by the way. And then so that would be the criteria by which one could opt out of a theoretically failing public school and then go to the private schools. I think one of the issues that's interesting in the Marquette poll, and it didn't quite come out this way, but at least it's worth considering, is whether the private schools themselves, now at first glance, oh, this is wonderful, we're going to get all this influx of students and money. But another poll question was whether or not they favored the private schools using the same measures of academic accountability as the public schools. And the largest single response in the poll was almost 90%. It was 89% say they should use the exact same measures. Now, anybody that operates a private school is probably saying to themselves, I'm a private school because I don't want to be a public school. I want to do things differently. So whether or not they're going to accept or be open to these same measures as public schools, you know, all of a sudden private doesn't become quite so private, and they probably didn't open a private school to become quasi-private. So, you know, it has all kind of implications. So the Marquette poll may indeed reflect that spectrum of concerns, both with I don't know, and then to the other end with how is this going to be implemented and what are the measures going to be. So, again, because it asked follow-up questions that had that opportunity to really drill down and get more response.
We do have in the news a story that the state superintendent of public instruction, Tony Evers, just yesterday was saying that this new school report card that will be used to in the possible expansion of private school vouchers is not ready for prime time. That it just had a pilot year and it's not ready. It's not ready to be used to judge a school to be failing. What do you make of that?
Well, and of course, Superintendent Evers is correct. I mean, the validity and reliability of this instrument, anybody remember statistics class, is being determined as we go along. So to use this as the sole criteria, it's a little early. And so, you know, we don't let 13-year-olds drive for a reason. They're not old enough. This particular report card is still new, and they're working out some of the bugs. They're finding information that maybe isn't reliable, isn't collected reliably. For example, everything from attendance to how they did on a particular score or who has to be involved in that particular data. There's a whole host of things. And, you know, we've got 420-plus reporting units, so there's a lot of information to get in line. I think also what the superintendent is saying is that it will be, and they anticipate this being a really good measure, but it's only one of numerous measures. And to use this as the sole criteria to be able to decide the establishment or moving forward with vouchers would be incomplete at best and really misguided because it's not going to give us everything we need.
We're talking about the expansion, the possible expansion of the school voucher program or the voucher schools program in Wisconsin with Steve Correa, Associate Professor of Teacher Education at St. Norbert College, welcoming your questions and your views on this at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. It's going to be a mostly sunny day today with highs in the low to mid-30s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Hope you stay tuned. Coming up after 8 o'clock, it's the Week in Review. We'll have two guests from different political viewpoints talking with you about the top state, national, and international news stories of the week. The Week in Review, every Friday after 8. Then this afternoon, it's At Issue, and after 4, every Friday, it's Your Views on the News. You can call in and talk about the news story this week that most mattered most to you. Right now, we are getting your questions and reactions to the proposal to expand the school voucher program in Wisconsin. And Jim in Lake Geneva is with us. Hi, Jim.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I think this is a question that if we take the funds from the public education and use it on the parochial education, I believe that's a misuse of funds, and it would bolster up something that would take away from something that we already have in Lake Geneva. We have great school district here. And the reason that some of the parochial schools do not thrive is because of the excellence of our public schools. And the public schools are open to all. I don't believe this voucher system was ever meant to tear down an existing school system.
All right. Thank you, Jim. Will it tear down the public schools, Professor Correa?
Well, it is interesting because what happens when you do something like this is, and of course, all we have to do is look to the Middle East or any other place, not to catastrophize that, but the idea of unintended consequences. And quite simply, we don't know with any level of certainty what's going to happen. And here's a case in point. There was a recent study done in the Twin Cities over in Minnesota, and they looked at school choice. Now, that's public school choice from one public school to another, and Minnesota does have that system, much like Wisconsin, where students can opt from one public school to another. One of the unintended consequences of that is that segregation actually increased, and the academic performance gap between students of different races increased. So while the intention was to have that be one that would provide opportunities for other students, the unintended consequences were that segregation increased and the performance gap increased. That was not the intention at all. So back to Wisconsin, we do have public schools that do perform well for the most part around the state. They're pretty solid. Evidence shows that nationally. We've got a few issues, of course. Everybody does. But we don't know. And this is a significant investment that our government offers to be able to, and this is a political topic, not an educational one. It's important to keep that in mind, that the educational evidence at best is 50-50. This is politically motivated to be able to provide these opportunities. Now, welcome to the world, welcome to politics. That happens. But the evidence to shuffle the deck this way, you would never go about doing this for any other public service. But they are looking at this with schools. So while nobody can predict the future, let's do say that the unintended consequences are out there and do provide lessons that other people are choosing to ignore or be ignorant of.
Let's go next to Dawn in Seymour. Hi, Dawn.
Oh, good morning, Joy. I had heard that there was a number of Republicans who said they wouldn't vote for this proposal as it was written, and I did a little more investigating, and what I came across was what they were opposed to was that the parochial or the private schools would have to, under this proposal, would have to offer services for special needs children, and they would be held to the same standard. And it turns out that these Republican lawmakers who said they wouldn't vote for the proposal, it was because of those issues. They didn't want those in there. They wanted them taken out. Was that, do you know if that's true?
Professor Correa, I know that Senator Ellis and Nina did want a local referendum in a district rather, you know, to approve a school voucher program. But do you know in terms of the special needs student requirements if that was involved?
Well, I think the caller is, you know, very astute. She's really sort of peeling away the layers here and trying to be able to look at this. And, of course, and it was either Tip O'Neill or Oscar Wilde who said all politics is local. And, boy, is this the case, because the Republican legislators that oppose this are from districts who have had their educational funding cut recently. So they are responding to local needs. So this isn't a slam dunk within the Republicans that are going to have to vote on this. Specifically, the rules as to which students they have to accept and the support services for those students, that is not clear. But here is one thing that's interesting. Now, Wisconsin right now, you do not have to have a certified teacher in a private school. Now, many private schools do choose to have their teachers certified, but whether or not the rules are going to follow the money to these private schools, that's still to be determined. Now, of course, she's specifically asking about special needs and support services and those kind of things. this takes a lot of expertise and a lot of training. And whether or not the private schools are going to be able to support these or want to, wow. And then, of course, those special needs students carry with them a much higher price tag because of support services that have to go. So the level of decision-making that will be left with private schools, this is undecided. And that's why this apples-to-apple comparison to the effectiveness of private schools is very unclear because, to use the metaphor, if they are able to cherry-pick the best and the brightest and the students that are going to academically succeed in any case, then you're going to see these unintended consequences of a separation of performance. And again, those things are to be determined. So her question is spot on. The answers are still to be determined.
Yeah, we have just a minute to go. Do you have any sense as to what this proposal may look like once it gets through the legislature?
My guess is that it is going to emerge with an expansion of choice. I think it's just very, very important for our governor to be able to do that. We also have to remember he does have a line item veto, which really puts an amazing amount of power in the governor's hand. I do think that the criteria might be somewhat different, but I do think that we will see an expansion, and then we'll see DPI's role in that in setting the guidelines and expectations.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Very glad to be here. Thank you.
Steve Correa, Associate Professor of Teacher Education at St. Norbert College. We thank him. We thank Wendy Scattergood, who is our analyst and with the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College poll. We thank Bill Martins for producing all of these programs on the poll results. We thank Amanda Magnus for on-air production and direction, and we thank Judith Sears-Poissant, who is in this morning for on-air production. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.